Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Word of Mom Radio. I'm excited. It's Wednesday, and the Sneaky Mom is kicking off our rotating shows on Wednesdays with another great show with amazing ways to teach your children without them learning, knowing that they're learning. I love that she feels that kids learn best when they think they're playing. And you know what? That goes at any age, especially boys. I have sons. And trust me, my sons are 24 and 26. They'll play with anything. And so if I can get them to even now, as a mom, to try and sneak something in there, they're going to learn a little bit while they're having fun. It's a great thing. And I love Kathy Winters, the Sneaky Mom and founder of everythingfamily.net and mother of familyideas.com, is here with another great bunch of ideas and activities for your kids of all ages. So, Kaz, happy Wednesday. Oh, my gosh. And the show put it on hold. You know, technology is a great thing when it works.
Uh-huh.
And I love how the studio automatically put your call on hold. If you have been talking, we did not hear you. But you know what? Happy show.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
All right. That's a good thing. Well, one of the things that's going on is there are changes in our educational system going on at this point in time. And one of the things that's happening there is that kindergarten and first grade students are now expected to be reading, and they're also being tested for their ability to do so. Now, if a child goes into school already familiar with letters and simple words, as well as positive experiences of reading books, then we can help to keep reading something that they enjoy rather than something that they fear. Because when a child is afraid of something, automatically the interest changes and they start to block it. And so, as Dori had said, children learn best when they think they're playing, and that's been my motto for a very long time. And while some schools can make reading and stuff intimidating and even scary, others make it fun, and that's what Sneaky Moms can do. We can teach reading and make learning fun for our children. We can teach math and make learning fun for our children, because play is the work of children, and hands-on activities are the best way to learn and build confidence because they don't realize that it's happening. So what we want to do is we want to back up their classroom learning, and we also create a comfort zone that helps a child to feel capable. They're always discovering things that they can do, and they get excited about things that they already know, and when that happens, they want to learn more. A child who can read and understand what he or she is reading can learn just about anything. And when we begin to read it to a child at a young age, then it's just a natural part of living instead of some required task that they have to do for schools or tests. And when they see us read, then they're going to imitate us because we make it seem like it's a fun and important thing to do. And when we read to them and we have one-on-one time with a child and reading, that's a winning combination. And it's learning, it's fun, and you're making priceless memories too. Reading also teaches writing skills. When you're reading, you're picking up grammar, vocabulary, sentence structure almost automatically. And then when things are taught in the classroom, they're going to make more sense. And Sneaky Moms also know how to make math and numbers seem like a game or part of make-believe play for children. When they play store, they use measuring cups to cook, they count items, or play games which involve numbers, then they want to know how math works because they can see that it's going to work for them and be to their advantage. So involving kids in various real-life calculations is one way to teach arithmetic because they see the connection. So today we're going to share sneaky ways to make all of this happen just every day so that we end up with kids who see themselves as capable readers, writers, and calculators. And if you have a child with special needs of any kind, you can adjust these ideas to work with him or her and just keep encouraging whatever progress there is, because no two kids learn the same way. It just doesn't happen like that. So I'm going to start with younger children and work to older children on each topic, because if we've got a firm foundation, that's one good way to make it work. So with little ones, you want to start looking at colorful picture books and cloth books. And you don't just tell the story. You kind of ask, what do you see? And you talk about the pictures. You get them to respond. What do you think is going to happen next? If there are words to your stories, not just pictures, read them out loud. And as you do, move your finger along as you read each word, because then a child is going to visually connect that those letters on that page have something to do with the story. And nursery rhymes and simple things like Dr. Seuss books, you know, they're silly and funny, rhyming things are great fun. And you can say them, sing them, make up your own silly ones. And laughing and giggling are part of it. When a child identifies reading with fun, they're going to want to do it. They can even draw pictures that go with the stories and make it so that the whole thing is fun. And when they get the message, they're going to want to keep doing it. For young ones, you want to introduce letters. And we always pointed out alphabet letters on signs, cereal boxes, packages, magazines, reading the Sunday funnies in the paper, whatever it happened to be. Words were always brought into what we were doing, and we would point them out. They're everywhere. They're everywhere we look, and just let the kids know that that's what those letters and words and things are all about. And I can't tell you how many millions of times we sang the alphabet song, or we would play alternate the alphabet. Begin with A, and then the child says B, and then C, and you go on to Z. And that's one way that you can learn, and it's fun. It's time together. It's memories. And we would also say the alphabet very, very quickly, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, V, M, X, Y, Z. And, in fact, we did that very often. And the kids got it. And when one of our sons was a toddler, he kept saying, Fwizy, Fwizy, and we couldn't figure out what it was. It turned out to be his version of WXYZ. That alphabet stuff was sinking in. You can make letters with pretzels or pasta, find letters in alphabet soup or cereal, and point out letters together and make identifying them a game. You're playing. 3D letters where they're hands-on things are really kind of fun, and it's another way to teach because it's both visual and it's tactile, and you can talk about them so it can also be audio. You can make them out of play with blocks, alphabet blocks or magnetic letters, or you can use clay or Play-Doh or things like that to actually create letters, build them with little pieces of wood or whatever you happen to have around. If your letter is B, for example, you might make or draw things like birds, butterflies, bats, baseballs, babies, beds, or bananas. Or just point out things that begin with that letter when they're in the grocery store or just at home. You might cut a bat shape out of black paper and fly it around to learn the letter B. Making reading a special time together is very, very important. Whether you're reading bedtime stories or sitting in a rocking chair or maybe in a blanket tent on the floor, when your child sees that reading is something that you do and your family does and that you do together, it's a very motivating thing. You can attend story times at a library. You might read with dolls or teddy bears or puppets or other toys. Sneaky moms use happy times as a way to interest a child in learning to read and make it fun. You can also look for words around the house. Read food packages and labels. Let them play Let's Pretend with a store or restaurant or office or school or anything where they're writing, and even if it's scribbles before they're learning letters, you know, they might have play restaurant and have their own menus that they're making up. When they get to be a little bit older and they're actually in school, you want to continue to read to your child and read with your child and let your child read to you and discuss the pictures and the favorite parts of the story. You might even make up different endings to regular and familiar fairy tales and stories. Like, you know, what would happen if, suppose Cinderella didn't like the prince? Maybe she decided to open up her own business making pumpkin coaches for other girls. You can get creative. Creativity is empowering for children as well as parents. You can leave messages on the fridge with alphabet letters, magnetic letters for one another. Leave messages for one another. Make up your own encouraging notes and leave them around the house for your kids to find, your child or children. We still leave smiley notes around ours, even though our kids are adults and have kids of their own. Smiley is S-H-M-I-L-Y, and it stands for See How Much I Love You. And when we find them, my granddaughters still occasionally will leave them for me, and it's very fun. And the kids can make their own handmade cards for family members where they're writing things in them and drawing. So they're, when you share those things with other family members, a child is going to feel like, I'm doing a good job. My stuff is worth sharing. Read comic books, joke books, silly stories, anything you can to reinforce that reading isn't all about school and homework and tests. It's fun. And it's something that you can use throughout your life. And that kind of stuff is very special to do. You can make simple puppets and use them to tell stories. There's so many ways to make puppets, from paper plates to socks, whatever you happen to have on hand. Stuffed animals can tell stories. Baby dolls, even toy trucks can read and tell stories. And a puppet can be as simple as drawing two eyes and a smile on your thumb or finger and wiggling it as you talk. We're not talking about a lot of parent time investment here necessarily. A child who gets a magazine of their own that's related to things that interest them is really going to have a good time and be encouraged to read. And there are also computers, you know, you could be reading on computers too, because they're going to have to do that with ease. And most kids do pick it up easier than adults do. And if you can actually publish something that a kid does, even if it's just making copies and stapling them together, that's a very empowering thing. I've published literally hundreds of books that were written by students, and it's a kick to see their work in print. And it really, really does make a difference when they can hold what they've written. And I think, Dori, right now it's probably a good time to take a little break.
Well, thanks, Kat. For those of you just tuning in, you're here on Word of Mom Radio, and we're talking with the sneaky mom, Kaz Winters. And it's so funny, as I was, we're going to share our sponsors in a moment, but I just wanted to kind of reflect on a little of what you were talking about. You know, when you were talking about nursery rhymes and things like that, I remember when my kids were younger, I loved the sing-along tape that Sesame Street would have and Disney would have, because they were great songs from their different movies, but they had the words going along with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, written underneath them. And kids have no attention span, so on a rainy day, when we would put on music, they loved to hear the songs over and over again, and I never cared, because as far as I was concerned, they were watching it, they were learning the dances, they were learning the words, and they were seeing the words. And I'm an avid reader, and so is my daughter, and always has been, but my sons now, as adults, love to read, but went through that time, and you know, I agree with you, whatever they're reading, I don't care. I got Sports Illustrated for them, I would get them truck magazines, and they loved reading, like, sports, anything, even, you know, new shoe products and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I was concerned, I didn't care, because they were reading. And that's all that mattered to me. And then one day, one of them picked up a book. My daughter had read something and gave it to my son and was like, you have to read this. And both boys actually got hooked on reading. It was the Twilight series had come out. And then my middle son went back into Anne Rice and, you know, this and that and blah, blah, blah. And again, now they're 26 and 24 and 22. They read all the time. And it's so fun to see how, you know, the things kind of, you know, morph. But as that sneaky mom, you know, like I said, I started way back with, you know, looking at if they were going to be watching TV, I wanted them to be watching something they were going to learn from, you know. So I tried to use my time that way. So just a little commentary on what you had to share and how much I'm loving it. And now for our sponsors. So we're going to hear from Dana D'Orsi from best-life-solutions.com. So take a listen.
Hi, I'm Dana D'Orsi from buildyoursixfigurebusiness.com where our mission is to help thousands of women entrepreneurs learn how to create six-figure businesses doing what they love while working 30 hours a week or less. Through private coaching, group training, and self-study programs, I teach my clients how to leverage powerful marketing strategies, efficient business systems, and proven success principles to attract more clients and make more money, all while enjoying an abundance of time, peace, freedom, and fun. To get immediate free access to my top 9 business building secrets, as well as free weekly marketing and productivity tips, please visit buildyoursixfigurebusiness.com today.
And safety first bags, because you need to travel and you need your laptop when you do, but you really want to remove your laptop at every airport checkpoint. I know I don't. And with the checkpoint-friendly laptop bags and backpacks from Safety First Bags, you no longer have to. They meet all federal TSA guidelines as checkpoint-friendly, meaning that jet-setting mompreneurs and busy travelers don't have to remove their laptop at security checkpoints. Visit wordofmomradio.com/offer/ for a discount and free shipping, and give yourself the gift of convenience. That was an easy word to say, huh? We're back here with this sneaky mom as I'm tripping over my tongue.
Well, I think that's an art. I'm pretty good at it, too. Well, we're back to reading and writing for the older kids, elementary school, middle school, and even junior high. And it's very similar for these. You sort of adapt to what their interests are. And at this point, hopefully they do have an interest in reading, whether it's books or e-books, whatever, you know, is comfortable for them. And you want to make sure that books are available still, whether it's, you know, biographies or mysteries, adventure, sci-fi, romance, cookbooks, how-to books, whatever it is. It's good to have them there, and they should enjoy things that they, it should be about things they enjoy. And one thing that happens, the more a kid reads, the more they expand their vocabulary for both reading and speaking. And when that happens, they feel smart. And when you feel smart, you tend to act smart and do well in school. I would subscribe to magazines for this age, too, find things that they enjoy. Another thing that the kids can do is that they can write their own stories or articles about things that interest them just for the fun of it. And it's also possible for them to submit their articles to magazines or newspapers that will publish things for children. I did an online search just to see publications that accept submissions from kids, and there were more than 300,000 entries under that search.
Wow.
So it's certainly possible to do, and I know of kids who have done it, and it's empowering. And when a kid feels empowered and good at something, they're more likely to spend time doing it and get even better. They can also write letters to editors. They can even write letters to elected officials or school people, you know, people at school, to express their opinions. You want to give a student a message that what they say, what they think, what they write has value to somebody, and that they can express their feelings, whether it's poetry or letters or journaling. Writing is a way to release a lot of stuff, too, especially through the teen years. Encourage, you know, the basic things like grammar, writing, spelling, proofreading, and editing. And as they write, as they read, they're going to be learning a lot more of this, and it almost becomes automatic. But you do need to do it correctly if you want to get things in print, or it helps to do that sort of thing. Student can even create their own newsletter for a group of friends or family or whatever and publish it. When one of my sons was in high school, he published an underground newspaper and distributed it at the mall, and he had a blast. And a lot of people followed it, and he had a good time doing it, and even got people to buy ads and pay for the printing on it. It's something that a kid can do. And just as younger children can publish books, older ones can too. And the more they know about computers, they really can put it all together there and even publish it in ebook or go on to online sources and have books published there. And it's easy. It's not a difficult thing. It does not require getting a publisher to pick you up, which doesn't happen so much in this era anyway. They can create their own illustrations or whatever it is to go along with their writing. And they can bring stories to life by acting, you know, getting involved in drama and things like that. That makes the reading even more fun. And then there are word games like Scrabble, Spell and Spell, crosswords puzzles. And those things develop word use and understanding of what the words mean. And that increases your confidence too. And of course the drawing and painting, sculpting, whatever, those sorts of things, you're communicating with art, so it's still communication. So we want to get into math now, so we'll start again with the younger ones. And begin by counting. Oh my gosh, we counted everything under the sun. The number of apples in a bowl, counting on child's fingers and toes, singing nursery rhymes and counting songs. Counting out loud from 1 to 10 and alternating like you would do with the alphabet, count blocks, toys, or whatever. And ask how many do you see, and let the child count them. Play games, 1, 2, 3, go. String colorful blocks or beads, string colorful beads or large ones, or count and arrange blocks in repeated patterns, because those help the brain to understand the organization of math. There are so many finger play rhymes that involve math. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I caught a fish alive. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I let it go again. Play card games, match numbers, use flashcards. All of those things are games. They're fun, but they're learning numbers. They're learning how they work in the process. You can play games that involve numbers where you're using dice or a spinner that lands on a number or counting spaces. Board games that use money, whether it's, and you can use the play money, you know, make believe in you've got a store or whatever, and you're learning how to handle money. And even if you have snacks and you have a couple of friends over, let a child divide the snacks equally so everyone gets the same amount. They don't know they're learning math, but they are. And, you know, practice writing numbers and drawing pictures to show how many items that number represents. And that's kind of a fun thing to do. You make it a game. And once they're in school, they'll be adding and subtracting, and you can do that using actual items. You know, put 5 apples on the table and take away 2 and see how many you have left. Make it visual. Kids learn in different ways. Some are visual, some are hands-on, some are when they read it, they get it. So adapt to what your child is good at. You might have an abacus to use because that's a very visual thing and it's easy to understand that way. Counting to 100. Collect 100 things and put them in a bag. You can fold paper to make geometric shapes. As you're driving around, you can point out shapes on signs, you know, a hexagon, an octagon, a triangle, whatever it happens to be, so that they're familiar with geometry before they actually have to do it. Measure and weigh things. Use measuring cups and spoons, a third of a cup, half a cup, and play games like store, where they're doing things with money and weighing things or whatever they might do. Anything that involves counting, adding, subtracting, and stuff like that. Learning on the geometry to count the number of sides and the number of angles on things when they see 3D geometric shapes. And as they get older, some of these things are actually quite fun. They can master card tricks and magic tricks that work because of mathematics. Both of our sons were magicians, and they used to perform for students and kids' parties and stuff like that. And they were good. And math is part of it. There are choose-a-number games where they have to figure out how they work based on math. You can play with paper or wooden tangram pieces and make different shapes. A Mobius strip. You just take a strip of paper about an inch wide and 11 inches long, just cut it out of a piece of paper, and you twist it one time and tape the ends together. Then when you take a pencil, you start drawing where it's taped together, and you keep going and going and going, and it will end up, the line will be on both sides of the strip, and you will end up matching where you started. It's kind of an interesting thing to do, and it makes kids think, which we really like. And if you were to cut it down lengthwise, down the middle, instead of having 2 loops of paper, you would have 1 large circle, and it would be thinner strips. Science and math are fun, and once they get that, you're home free. Play strategy games that use logic. Use a calculator. Learn metric. Work with percentages because you're going to need to figure out that sales tax, and if you've got a savings account for a kid, they're going to want to know how much interest they're making. Estimate materials required for a special project. Use mathematical formulas to figure things out. When math is connected to fun, then it's an invitational thing. They want to know. The information is something they need, something they want. And then it's not an overwhelming, scary thing. You can play games like chess, Risk, Mastermind, card games that require strategies and numbers. Play with a Rubik's Cube. Anything that requires thinking in a different manner is going to strengthen the mathematical skills. If you're shopping, you can add up the total of things that you're buying in your head and see how close you come to the actual total before tax. Count back change. This is something my daughter used to play store all the time. And we taught her how to do that so that if someone gives you like an extra amount so that they get even dollars back instead of a pocket full of coins. And it's amazing how very few people who even work in stores are able to do this. And it's simple. So that it's something that if a kid learns early, it makes them feel empowered and special and all that kind of stuff. So we're getting actually kind of toward the end here. So I want to say celebrate learning with your child. When it's not scary, and some schools make it fine. All the teachers I know pretty much are just amazing, and they really want to teach, and they really love teaching. But there are aspects of testing and things that are being introduced that are making scary consequences for testing and learning and stuff, which doesn't help a child learn. When you're afraid, you shut down. So we need to give them enough positive feeling about themselves and their ability to learn, their ability to understand reading, writing, math, and other things, so that they feel like they're capable. I can do that. We want to build a succession of successive successes so that they know that they can do it. All right, Dori, back to you.
Great information and fun stuff. And I have to say, you know, as your kids get old, I can remember being in school going, so why do we need algebra? When am I ever going to use algebra unless I'm a mathematician? You use algebra, guys. It's basic stuff. It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. You know, even just figuring out the sale, because a lot of times, you know, it's one of the things I talk about with my kids when they would come with me to Costco or, you know, Sam's Club or whatever. And they'd be like, oh, Mom, why don't you get this big thing? Because it's, you know, it would be cheaper to get it this way. And it's like, well, actually, this week, this is what's on sale. So I can buy three of these, which is actually more, when you add it all up. And I don't have to open one big thing. So, you know, that's algebra. But there are lots of ways to make learning fun for your kids. And I love the show. I really do. I just have so much fun listening to the things that you share. And I'm so glad. And I encourage you guys, reach out to Kaz. Go to everythingfamily.net or motheroffamilyideas.com and connect with her. Follow her on Twitter at Kaz Winters. And just make sure that you're connected and find out more ways that you can be that sneaky mom. And tomorrow on the Entrepreneur Model, I am very excited to have Amy Hilbert Davis joining me. And she was in that group of the first mompreneurs I ever interviewed back when I was doing the Three Walks Girls with Debbie Barth and Linda Alexander. And I'm really excited to catch up on where her journey has led her from the balance map to now family life success and you know, being in front of Fortune 500 companies and stuff. So it's exciting to see a mom of seven do the things that she is doing. What I love about being here on Word of Mom Radio is getting to share the amazing women that I've met on this journey. So, Kaz, we'll see you next month, first Wednesday of every month. We are here with the Sneaky Mom. And, again, tomorrow I'll be with the Mompreneur Model with my guest, Amy Hilbert Davis. And until then,
Thanks so much for tuning in to Word of Mom Radio and Sneaky Mom Show, and we'll see you again later. Bye for now.
Goodbye.